This week, we have sure seen the power of a sermon. An Episcopal bishop spoke to a president. And there have been a wide variety of reactions. Some have praised her for speaking truth to power. Others have condemned her for bringing politics into the pulpit. But what I've noticed is that while there's been name-calling and dismissal simply because she's a woman, not a single article or interview that I have read or heard tries to pick apart her argument as contradictory to the actual teachings of Jesus Christ. Not used to so much applause. And there's a reason for that, I think. And it's pretty simple. When that bishop called for mercy on a marginalized people, she was echoing the words and the life of Jesus. You simply can't argue that something is anti-Christian when it is something that Jesus, in one way or another, has said himself. When I was meeting with the search committee and discerning to be your rector, I was asked specifically how I preach about contemporary issues without delving into politics. It's an excellent question. And there are a great many preachers who would say that they never preach about politics. They preach the message of Jesus. Now, whether or not Jesus meant to be political or apolitical, what's true is that his sole concern was preaching and living out an example in his life of how we should live in God's empire in right relationship with God and with one another. In fact, our gospel reading from today is often referred to as Jesus' first sermon. And boy, it's a doozy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he's quoting from Isaiah, but not directly. Kind of a mishmash going on. Most of it is from Isaiah 61, although Jesus omits a line about binding up the brokenhearted and also a line about proclaiming the day of God's vengeance. And he inserts a piece from Isaiah 58, specifically to let the oppressed go free. And he's done it deliberately. Now, normally in synagogue, there would be prescribed readings for the day, just like what we have with our lectionary. However, unlike our lectionary, passages weren't broken up. You're not going to get verses 1 through 4 and then 9 through 12. It's all going to be a chunk. And practically, there was a good reason for this. It's because the scrolls that they were reading from are big. How big? Well, based on the Isaiah scroll that they found at Qumran, one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's about 24 feet of scroll with over 50 columns. So it made it a lot harder to kind of bounce around in the text. So by editing these verses carefully, Jesus' first sermon removes God's vengeance and binding from the equation. And instead, it's all about God's freeing actions. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to forgive all medical debt and student loans, to take the raises and the tax breaks from the CEOs and distribute them among the people at the bottom of the corporate ladder, that are working 60-plus hours a week just to feed their families, to bring healthy, nutritious, and delicious meals to those who eat McDonald's and junk food. Because no matter what, a full belly is better than an empty one. To put a roof over the heads of those sleeping on park benches and in doorways. To open the hearts of those closed off to love because of grief or fear or just because. To not have to make the choice between health care and becoming destitute. What do you think would be good news to the poor? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives, to free all those who have been wrongly accused or more harshly punished because of their skin color, to bring feelings of hope and love and worthiness to those who are depressed, to liberate those unable or afraid to leave situations of abuse, to release addicts from drugs or alcohol or phones or social media, to unshackle those who can't get out of the sweatshops, who can't get out of child labor, who can't get out of sex work, to provide freedom of purpose and feelings of value to those who are trying too hard to please others, to forgive, to expand rights to those held back from full human flourishing, to save us and others from our biases, to pay people a living wage so they don't have to spend their lives in a jail of endless work. What do you think would proclaim release to those held captive? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to appreciate the way people with disabilities or neurodivergence approach the world, to see yourselves and each other as beloved children of God, to remove the line between us and them, to realize how our actions can affect others and the earth, to look at ourselves in the mirror and no longer see a laundry list of flaws, to actually see each person as the image of God instead of gender or race or sexual identity. What do you think would bring recovery of sight to the blind? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to let the oppressed go free, to enable women to earn as much as men for the same job, to bring equity and not equality to all, to liberate those from violence and scarcity and systems designed to keep them down, to end commercialism, urban sprawl, deforestation, and pollution that is endangering wildlife. What do you think would let the oppressed go free? And then Jesus declares that he is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is the ancient Jubilee year. Every 50 years, the Jewish people would rest the land and each other for a whole year. Crops were not planted, the land lay fallow. Those who were enslaved were freed. Land taken or owned unfairly or through coercion was returned to its original owners. Debts were forgiven. And people returned home to appreciate their families and their friends. The freedom that this year provided was not just for the lowly, it was for everyone. Because everyone benefits with liberty for all. Everyone benefits when we work for one another's well-being. It simply about returning dignity and health and flourishing to every aspect of creation. That's what Jesus is preaching here. It's a new way of being, a new orientation to one another and to the world. It's a new empire altogether, the reign of God. Now, whether you think his message is political and which side he represents is completely up to you. But these are the things that he came to usher in. And he ends, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture has been given to you through your hearing. Today, this scripture is passed on to you to continue." It's as if Jesus is saying, "What are you waiting for? I brought you the game plan, the agenda. I've started it all, but it will take a village to continue this work. Let's get cracking."